Good afternoon. You know who this is. It's your good friend Dan. And Little Saigon, Seattle on July the 13th, 2019. The tree outside my window looks like it's kind of dying, which isn't great. It could be because I look at it, it's got this white gunk all over it. I think that could be from concrete dust. A lot of construction going on. One of the ironies, or maybe not irony, maybe that's not the right word, but one of the realities of life is that often, for new things to come into existence, old things must die. That's a hard conversation for people to have in the United States of America. It really is. We expect to live forever because we've been told by the cult of technology that there's a pill or an injection or a device or some type of Remulac tube or some gumbus that you shove into a pipe and you put down your own hole and you'll just be fine. We're fed a lot of crap. Everything dies. Everybody's gonna die. It is a tough, tough, tough thing to come to grips with. When my sister Nancy died in 2012, I kind of fell apart and I'm not proud of it. Holy shit, I'm not proud of it. I did the best I could, but I could have done better. That's the truth. And instead of choosing the strong path, I chose the weak path. And looking back, people would say, well, it's because of marijuana. But the truth is, nah, it's because I didn't have any God in my life. You know, the thing about weed, and this is what people don't get about weed, they really don't get. Weed mostly becomes a problem because you're not doing other things. Because you should be being a parent or being a wife or being a husband or being a friend. Weed is an issue if it comes between you and the things that are important. It isn't really necessarily an issue if it's just something you do once in a while. It's kind of like beer or coffee. You know, I'm drinking a coffee right now if you want to know. Sip, sip for my Keurig. This frickin' new Zoom H4N Pro. You all know I'm an anarchist and a capitalist. I believe in free enterprise. I don't like the banking system. I have very, very, very big question marks around crypto. I don't want to talk about it because it's a depressing topic. But yeah, the Keurig goes through a reheat cycle. And the Zoom, this new microphone data recorder, will pick up the Keurig reheating the next cup, and it's like, fuck. And the thing is, I don't have a studio here in Little Saigon, in truth, because I have the window closed and the fan off. I am slowly baking. And this is actually maybe a cautionary tale about the situation. I should turn off Willy Wonka a little bit here. That was very loud. Willy Wonka just communicated an extremely loud message. Also, I should mention, I am on call right now to monitor the Great Snake. The Great Snake is named Ard. Ard connects all of the great rivers of the Data Lake and the cosmos and all things within the scope of that creation, which is in the great ancient city beyond the Great Lake at Willy Wonka's. So I'm on Willy Wonka on call, and it's okay. But truthfully, it's a little weird. But yeah, right now, because I need to turn off all the sound producing crap, my little cube zone is slowly heating up. And you need to think about this because whatever your feelings are about global warming, whatever, if you live near to a nuclear reactor, and this is kind of important, you may think this is a ramble. You may think this is a ramble. It's not. I promise you, the crazy, crazy Dr. Freckles, Uncle Dan, Dan in Little Saigon, this is not a fucking ramble. I kid you not. Einstein once said about nuclear power that it was a hell of a way to boil water, and I kind of think that's true. It's a hell of a fucked up way to boil water. There are probably safe ways to use nuclear power. I am not a nuclear physicist. What I will tell you, what I basically know from my own experience, is there's probably no amount of radiation that's good for you. So don't be a dope. If you want to sell the hormesis crap, sell it someplace else. I don't believe in the whole theory that if you get a little radiated, you're going to get a little stronger. No, this isn't Nietzsche. This isn't that, okay? And guess what? He died of syphilis. He went insane. The most important part of Nietzsche was destroyed by disease. So when you're going to quote Nietzsche, just remember that he died going crazy, which means he died essentially watching the most important part of him in his materialistic, atheistic worldview completely collapse on him. So yeah, sometimes these things don't make you stronger. So yeah, think about that. If you live near a nuclear reactor and the temperature of the water is getting warmer, it means that the cycle rate that you need to keep the reactor core from overheating, guess what? This is good old-fashioned physics. And I hope that my nephew listens to this because he can check my basic physics. But my basic physics, I think, is basically true. And it's not mine original. I actually got it from listening to Dane Wigington's freaking podcast. Fuck. I can't stop listening to that guy. I think he's credible. I think he's a real guy. I think he's honest and true. And his message is extraordinarily alarmist. And so is Guy McPherson. They both seem like credible, honest, decent, and true people. That's what my heart tells me. Now, I've made mistakes before, as we all have. You know, the heart's a fickle thing. And human beings are freaking fuck complicated as fuck. You know, if you think you understand people, oh, I'm going to let you in a little secret. You don't. But yeah. Anyways, it's a hell of a way to boil water. If you're using water to cool your reactor, which means you basically do two things. You cool the reactor, but you also regulate using control rods. Now, so you know, a control rod essentially absorbs neutrons. Okay, so if you're talking fission reaction, the basic physics of it is this. You can think of a fission nuclear reactor, a traditional boiling water reactor, as kind of like a slow motion nuclear bomb train wreck. And the control rods are literally what they sound like. They keep the whole fucking mess under control. Now, here's the deal though. If the control rods get above a certain temperature, they melt. And that's not so good. Because then all of a sudden the neutrons go cray cray. And then you get a reactor that overheats and basically melts right through the bottom. It's what they call China syndrome. The point is, you have to keep water cycling through the reactor to keep it cool. The water also helps regulate neutrons, but that's not the main message here. The water keeps the control rods from melting. That's kind of the important message here. The control rods keep things under control. It's a hell of a way to boil water. It really is. I know I've given this speech before, but folks, yeah. It's a hell of a way to boil water. And if your water temperature in your ambient environment's going up, which means the water used for cycling through your reactor, the temperature's going up, it means you got a couple of options. You can cool the water, which is expensive. You got to basically cool it down. Or you can go to a Freon-type coolant system. It's going to get more dangerous in a meltdown. I mean, water is horrible, but there's other things that would be worse than a meltdown in terms of producing things that would be transuranic, cancerous. You know, if you want to talk about the potpourri of shit that kills people, basically water is not the worst thing to use as a coolant. You could use things like graphite. That's what they used at Chernobyl. I'm just saying that there are probably worse things they use than water. But the bottom line is, if your water temperature is going up and you can no longer depend upon it to keep the control rods from melting, then you're going to have to do a few things. You're going to have to switch to a different type of coolant system, cool the water down, or increase the cycle rate. Now, you could do that. You could pump the water through faster. It is that kind of basic physics. I think that's one of the reasons why nuclear reactors, like fission reactors, make a ton of sense. I mean, they're horrible, but they kind of make a lot of sense in the context of the Navy, because you have lots and lots of water. Frankly, we treat our oceans like toilets. It sucks, it's true. Ask the orcas. Oh, they're gone almost, so they're not going to say anything. Yeah, basically, the best place to have a nuclear power plant to power shit is probably in a ship, like in the submarines. You've got lots of cold water, and if the water's not cold enough with a submarine, for example, you could just go down to a lower depth and you get all the cold water you need, so your control rods do not melt. And that's the key point, folks. There are neutrons come in different flavors, but for the basic physics, there are fast neutrons and slow neutrons. Slow neutrons are everywhere, okay? They're around us right now. There are rogue slow neutrons in the environment. Don't freak out. Don't freak out. They just happen. The fast neutrons are the ones you need to worry about. Those are the fuckers that can come through and actually, like, you know, maybe, desequence your DNA, so to speak, and make it impossible for your cells to reproduce and basically kill you. Yeah, fast neutrons are terrible. When people say neutron bomb, they're essentially talking about fast neutron propagation, or essentially eliminating some of the effects of nuclear explosion through a casing so that all you release are mostly just fast neutrons. Anywho, if you want something like refined uranium to spontaneously fission, you can't just leave it laying out. Because even though there are slow neutrons everywhere, they're not just going to cause uranium to start splitting spontaneously. That's not how reality functions, actually. So yeah, you have to do a couple things. One of which is this concept of critical mass, where you reach a point where you squeeze these, and I think it's uranium, I want to say uranium-237 or 238 is refined, but you squeeze them to the point that the slow neutrons can cause fission. And that's basically one way of doing it. But the bottom line is that if the reaction gets out of control, it is an explosion. Now, you want to know about what that is. Well, yes, there's energy. There's gamma rays and X-rays released, but it really is the damaging elements, the other elements that get created through these explosions. You could think of these as like a poor man's supernova. You know, so you guys, I feel like I'm going all over the place, so let's go a little deeper. I am a Christian, I believe in God, but right now I'm wearing my cap called science. I'm going to pretend that I'm in that world, okay? If you think I question it, guess what? I'm a cosmological agnostic. I think God could do just about anything God wants to. If you want to know where I stand on the God thing, if God wanted to re-edit existence so that we were all giant hippopotamuses having hippopotamus conversations, guess what? That's pretty much in his wheelhouse. He can do that. But I don't want to go deeply onto that. I don't want to break off onto that. Right now I'm wearing my science hat. Elements, elements other than hydrogen. Well, even hydrogen probably. But the elements come from explosions. I mean, they really do. All of the elements come from processes of decay and death in these giant fusion reactors we call stars. Different stars decay and die in different ways. And during that process, you get new elements. So things like the element iron. Iron just doesn't happen. It happens as a process in the great ovens. Now, I think God created the great ovens. You can say different theory. I don't want to talk about that right now. But the bottom line is, you can think of a nuclear reactor as an oven. And yes, it produces energy, but it also produces other crap, like all ovens do. You know, like McDonald's has ovens that produces crap. And there's a lot of crap that comes out of nuclear reactors. It's just not good stuff. I mean, yes, hospitals can use it to treat people. That is true. There are transuranic elements that are used to do things like treat cancer, treat tumors. But it's really horrible crap. And so if there's a safe way to do it, in my opinion, it's not the way we currently do it. I guess that was a long-winded way of saying it. Einstein was right, you know, currently how we use nuclear energy to power things is stupid. It's a hell of a way to boil water. There's got to be better ways. There's got to be 10 or 15 better ways. And it's almost like we're on purpose. And this is where things get horribly conspiratorial. And you know how I feel about the crocodile? Boy, this is a tough day in a way, but not as tough for me as for other people, I'm about to say. So yes, I'm on call, but so my nephew, who's going in the Navy, and I'm really proud of the guy. Let me just say this right now so I can get this out of the way, because this is not complicated. I don't always get along with all my brothers and sisters, and in truth, they don't always like me, and I totally get it. So if that's one of the life lessons you have to learn from this podcast, will all brothers and sisters always agree with each other? I'm going to let you know a little fucking secret. The answer is no. In fact, it's entirely likely that if you come from a big family like mine, you'll find yourself in various clans and cohorts and subgroups and sub angles and sub dramas, and it's really sub terrible. And awfully subpar and often subpar dialogue writing, but that's reality. And in part, it feels like I'm sticking a finger at God when I say that, so I'm going to shut up there. The point is, families have drama. I don't always d agree with my brothers and sisters, but they managed to be amazing people, all of them, including, myself and other siblings that didn't have kids. But for the ones that did have kids, they turned out to be amazing parents. And frankly, the ones that didn't, I mean, I have a sister like me. She's doing a great job being an aunt. I suck at being an uncle. I'm like the worst fucking uncle in the world, I think. Maybe I'm not, but that's how I feel. And maybe that's how all lonely, drunk, single uncles who live in Little Saigon feel. They all feel like the worst uncles in the world, but I do. But what I can say definitively is that all my nieces and nephews are amazing. They're just amazing people. My brothers and sisters pulled it off. If you're asking a person, how do you win at life? I mean, that's the thing. Forget for a moment. Pretend that you don't give a shit about religion, because a lot of you don't. And, what happens to you is going to be a big question mark, to be blunt. But pretend this isn't about religion. It's just about life. Probably the most important thing you're going to do is help another generation of people become great people. And I'm sure everyone feels this way. And this is probably very common. Like, this is probably a common conceit. Probably everybody feels like this. But I think all my nieces and nephews are pretty amazing people. And I think probably way smarter than me at their age than I was. What people mistake as a distance in some of their eyes is a truth. That's all I'll say. But what I'll also say is this, is that like me when I was young, there's a lot of dark forces out there. There are a lot of dark forces in the world trying to get people to do things. And I know you're going to say, oh, Dan, you're going to get all scary and religious. No, actually, I'm just talking about reality. Okay? There are people who would want to take advantage of the fact that, yeah, we kind of live in a lopsided economy. And the truth is, there aren't a lot of good opportunities for young people. It's freaking reality. And no one wants to be honest about it. And people love beating up on the young. Oh my God. Other than beating up on homeless people, the other thing that's become really popular in this country and really in Seattle is beating up on young people because they must be stupid. No, you know what? They've been given a really shitty stew. Here's a shitty stew, young people, and turn it into something useful. I actually applaud them for their attitudes. So beyond it, before I go too far, that's how I feel, but there's a lot of dark forces. I personally don't like the military. I'm an anarchist. How would I feel about it? I was in the military. When I swore an oath in 1996, I honestly believed, and this is how stupid I was. I truly, truly, truly believed in my heart that I was swearing an oath to a free republic. I was really stupid. By that time, we were already a maturing and dying empire, and that was how stupid I was. I had a master's degree in history. You know what I had at the time? A master's degree in stupidity, because I had been fed lies. If you look at the published, look at the publishing companies. You want to go to a graduate department in political science or history in this country, and you want to understand the truth. Look at the companies that publish the fucking books. You can listen to the professors all you want to. I mean, they'll say all kinds of crazy ass shit. That's part of their job, actually. Don't listen to the fucking professors. Don't listen to the idiots on the idiot box. Don't even necessarily read all the books, but look at where they're being published and who's publishing them and who owns those companies. Because I can promise you, if there's a message, whether it's on Amazon, on Kindle, frickin' even SoundCloud, I know probably I get in trouble for saying this, if there's a message that people don't want and it's being heard, they will silence it. That's also true. So anyways, when I was 26 years old, I honestly believed that when I took the oath, I was taking the oath to defend a free republic. And do you know how completely insane that sounds to me now? I know it's a crocodile, I know it's a monster. And I know that there have been many crocodiles before and many after. I also know this. If we were a free country, we were likely a free country in that brief window that nobody likes to talk about between the end of the war between the United States or the states at the time and Great Britain and the beginning of the Constitutional Republic. There was a period of time we don't talk about, the Articles of Confederation, but I'll be honest with you, that's probably the gold nuggets of American history. The truth is, if we understood that period of American history, we'd understand a lot about what went wrong. But we covered over with Hamilton. We go see Hamilton, and we're all happy on the plantation as slaves, so be happy. Anyways, I don't like the military, but I have a nephew. He's an amazing guy. He's going in the military. And the truth is, I'm an anarchist. So in reality, even though I'm not anybody special, I'm just a fucking burned-out, middle-aged computer programmer. Who the fuck cares about who I am? In reality, because I'm an anarchist, because I was in the military once, I feel like, holy fuck, the smartest move for him going forward, and this is what I'm going to tell him, is just to cut contact with me. That I won't talk about him. He shouldn't probably talk to me. It sounds horrible, but it's the world we live in. The truth is, I love the guy, and I think he's an amazing guy. But I also think, on a certain level, he's joining a cult. And there are a lot of cult activities. And one of the cult activities, and I was in the military, I understand it. It's like when you run together. I used to love to run. Here's a little side note. Before I joined the military, believe it or not, I was really fat in high school. But my freshman year at the UW, I got into running, and I loved it. It was one of those things that kept me from getting really depressed. And I used to do it by myself, which means I didn't need nagging. I didn't need a clock to go off at 6 a.m. Holy fuck, be in formation for PT. I didn't need that. But once you get used to running with people in formation, it is like a drug. Folks, I'm going to tell you right now some simple truths about how cults work. One of the ways cults work is they build into the rhythm of your life a certain kind of music, a certain kind of sound. And it becomes so connected with what you do so that you can't even see yourself outside of it. And then they pump in a lot of emotion. So I love my nephew. And I think he's a brilliant guy. And I don't think he's stupid. And I think he has his eyes wide open going into this. I really do. But the honest truth is, if his eyes are wide open, he knows in his heart that until he gets out, he's probably best not talking to me. Because with cults, you can't have conversations with people that don't believe in the cult. You really can't. You can't have people that don't believe in the Pol Pots or don't believe in the fucking Jim Joneses or the giant American crocodile that supposedly defends freedom but goes around pooping on the world and setting things on fire. Not at all really defending freedom, but mostly spreading chaos. And then, which is really funny for us anarchists, constantly using the word like anarchy to describe how things could get worse. Now that's the insult of all insults, to have giant crocodile toss the word anarchy around like, holy fuck, what do you want, anarchy? Folks, he should be using the word chaos, and that's what you're getting right now. So I love my nephew, and I think he's a brilliant guy, and I think his eyes are wide open, but cults don't like it when people don't believe or talk to people that don't believe. It's why they want you to cut contact with family. Now, the good news is in America, most people, especially in Seattle, I mean, it's so funny because Seattle, people in Seattle will pretend to be so fucking liberal. And this is one of the good examples of the chink in the armor on that one. Because I don't know what happened to the anti-war left. I think it's dead. Because we've been at war for fuck, almost 20 years. And does anybody really fucking understand why? Does anybody really think we're getting closer to any end of this bullshit? Of destabilizing countries, of pissing people off, or being pissed off? Do you really think there's an end to it? I know that's a bit of a random segue, fork off the main conversation. I told you it was all connected. It kind of is. My little cubicle is heating up because I need to be silent to talk about something. Something that frankly troubles me, because you can love somebody, but then recognize that they have a right to be who they want to be. And guess what? This is one of the lessons of God I think a lot of people don't get. God loves us. Jesus loves all of us. Jesus really loves us. And Jesus loves me. I know this. I didn't know this. I believed in God before I came to realize that Jesus loved me. I know it sounds weird, but faith can be like stages. And it took a while. In some ways, it may have not have been complete until this last winter, but Jesus loves us, but Jesus gets disappointed. And that's the way it is for parents. Like, parents love their kids, but they get disappointed. And they do the best they can. At the end of the day, if you're just an uncle, a single, broke-ass, middle-aged, burnout software engineer, ne'er-do-well, never-accomplished-shit uncle, who's also an anarchist, what are you going to tell somebody in their 20s? What are you going to say to them when they're offered a giant check by the crocodile? Don't take the check. The good news is, my sister, like all my brothers and sisters, but technically I have six sisters, so that's a simple math problem, but the good news is my sister raised her kids right. And I don't mean right as in right wing. I mean, she did the right thing. She raised good people. He's a good guy. He's a smart guy. He's capable of making wise decisions. And guess what? We all get suckered, and we all have to make the best decisions we can. He's not being offered a bag of gold by the crocodile, not knowing what it is. He knows what it is. Just like when I work for Willy Wonka's, I know my situation at Willy Wonka's. I know why I have to monitor the great snake. I know why all this sounds bizarre to you, especially the Coustalizer, or if the fact that right now I'm going to check and see, did the Coustalizer run successfully? Because this is kind of important. It means nothing to you, and it is in no way a security breach because it makes no fucking sense. But the Coustalizer, I'm checking the history on the job, viewing history now. Yep, the Coustalizer finished successfully around noon. That's good fucking news, because if the Coustalizer did not work, and this is what's really important, folks, before we get all serious and bullshit serious, if the Coustalizer fails, then no one gets to become Jacques Cousteau. There's no transformative process where you are yourself, but suddenly the Jacques Cousteau version of yourself. So yeah, good news, the Coustalizer works. Gonna be a fun Saturday night! You know, Willy Wonka's. Yeah. So I can't judge anybody. I'm in no position to judge. And that's the other thing, too. Because I'm a Christian, I know that only one person is in a position to judge, and that's Christ. So I don't judge. And also, I've read my 1 Samuel chapter 8. I've reread it. I am currently trying to understand the whole Bible, but there are parts of the Bible I end up rereading. I have read my first. In fact, I'm gonna break it out right now because I feel like it's one of those moments, you know, one of those good moments where maybe reading from the good book actually makes a lot of fucking sense. And I know that Jesus doesn't like it when I swear, but well, I think he's happier I'm not an atheist. I think that's also true. You know, he's like, Dan swears, but at least he's not an atheist anymore. First Samuel. First Samuel chapter 8. When Samuel grew old, he appointed his sons as judges for Israel. The name of his firstborn was Joel, and the name of his second was Abijah. I think I'm saying that right. And they served at Beersheba. And I don't know if I'm saying that right. I'm sure they're biblical scholars who'll say I'm not. But his sons did not walk in his ways. They turned aside after dishonest gain and accepted bribes and perverted justice. So all the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel at Ramah. They said to him, "You are old, and your sons do not walk in your ways. Now appoint a king to lead us, such as all the other nations have." But when they said, "Give us a king to lead us," this displeased Samuel. So he prayed to the Lord, and the Lord told him, "Listen to all that the people are saying to you. It is not you they have rejected. but they have rejected me as their king, as they have done from the day I brought them up out of Egypt until this day, forsaking me and serving other gods. So they are doing to you. Now listen to them, but warn them solemnly and let them know what the king who will reign over them will do. And this is the part where you need to listen up, folks. You know, I know I'm doing the subtitles here on the Bible, but this is the next part of the Bible where you need to listen to what you get when you get a fucking crocodile. Samuel told all the words of the Lord to the people who were asking him for a king. He said, "This is what the king who will reign over you will do. He will take your sons and make them serve with his chariots and horses, and they will run in front of his chariots. Some he will assign to be commanders of thousands and commanders of fifties, and others to plow his ground and reap his harvest, and still others to make his weapons of war and equipment for his chariots. He will take your daughters to be perfumers and cooks and bakers. He will take the best of your fields and vineyards and olive groves and give them to his attendants. He will take a tenth of your grain and of your vintage and give it to his officials and attendants, your men servants and maid servants, and the best of your cattle and donkeys. He will take for his own use. He will take a tenth of your flocks, and yourselves will become his slaves. When that day comes, you will cry out for relief from the Lord you have chosen, and the Lord will not answer you in that day." But the people refused to listen to Samuel. And I'm going to leave it right there, because there's more to it in the Bible, but I think you get the fucking message. You know, God gave us free will. It's funny. The Bible is a very funny book, because people think it's written in one dimension. It's actually written in more than one dimension. You're kind of being stupid if you see it as a one-dimensional document. It really isn't. And it's also not just history. And it's also, you know, written by a bunch of fucking people over time, with prejudices and issues and all kinds of concerns, and some of them hated their wives, and some of them were wives that hated their husbands. Who knows how many men or women had a part in writing the Bible? And I say men and women, I mean all people. Who knows? And yet somehow it makes sense, and it does keep making sense. In fact, when you see all these little dramas of people today, and you say, oh, this Epstein bullshit, and Trump, and crapola, folks, read the fucking Bible, because it's all happened before. If you get yourself a crocodile, he's going to turn you into a slave. That's not the part of the Hamilton musical that any of you fucking listen to, because it's not in there, but it should be. The better version of the Hamilton musical is, if you ask for a magical fucking crocodile, you will be turned into a fucking slave. I don't care if it's a Marxist crocodile, I don't care if it's Scientology crocodile. I don't care whatever bullshit it is. If the bullshit's telling you, give up your identity and become like the Borg, you need to tell that to go fuck itself. But the truth is this. I live in a country where people worship the giant magical crocodile. And a lot of them, even the ones getting beaten down by it, I mean, if you even question their worldview, they would say, holy fuck, what are you telling me? Are you saying I've been cuckolded my whole fucking life? That my whole life I have been treated like a frickin' mushroom? Anyways, I gotta open up the window because it's actually heating up in here. Boy, that nuclear reactor analogy. Yeah. There's more truth than a lot of the truth, right? But I'll just filter out the noise as best I can. I like this recorder. It's a great recorder. It's also very sensitive, as I've said. Just hear more of the planes. I'm on a flight path, and I don't know. The city. Saturday in Little Saigon is not too loud, but some days it can be loud. But I needed to open the window at least. I think I may turn on the fan. It's funny. They tell us that it's global cooling, and they tell us that things are getting cooler, and it just feels like it's getting hotter. Also, it feels like the Earth is dying, and it feels like they're lying to us about that. And here's the thing you need to know about Uncle Dan, people. is that I am just a burned out middle-aged computer programmer, so I know almost nothing. The only thing I'm fairly certain of is that I'm being lied to. Now, does that mean that that tells me anything? No. Knowing that you're being lied to tells you nothing. In fact, it's actually worse than not knowing. It's better to not know than to know you're being lied to and be powerless to find the truth. And that's probably your predicament, just like mine. Your predicament, just like mine, is you're being lied to 24/7 in the United States of America about things happening in your environment, in the world, overseas. You're being lied to all the fucking time. And great liars, here's the thing I know about lies and liars. And I'm Irish, so I know a good lie when I see one. Great lies contain truth. They always have, they always will, okay? You know, here's a little truth that most people don't get. Lucifer loves God. I'm going to repeat that statement because a lot of people are really fucking stupid and they claim they understand their religion, but they don't. Lucifer loves God. Lucifer hates people. If that concept is difficult for you to grasp, then you really need to rethink yourself and your religion. Lucifer has always loved God. His issue, his main beef, if you think about it, at least to the extent that we understand it, is that God chose to love people as well, beyond just the angels, beyond just Lucifer. It turned out God has an infinitely large heart. It's impossible to believe. It's like this concept our minister brings up periodically, and I'm glad he does. Hesed. Hotel Echo, Sierra Echo, Delta, Hesed. Hesed is a word, it's a Hebrew word, I believe, according to our minister, and I'm going to believe our minister because, well, he's my minister, he's not your minister, but I'm going to believe my minister because he seems like a good guy. But Hesed, and again, it's not one minister, there's a few that are ministers, but they've all talked about Hesed. Hesed is God's infinite, non-negotiable love for us. It's also why when you get suckered into a lot of doom porn, and this is also important, this is where things get fucking complicated. Because on the one hand, human bullshit is terrible, and what we do to each other is just so horrible most people don't get it. But then there's God. And God kind of like, if he wanted to, he could probably fix it all for us, but he's not gonna, I hate to break it to you. But he does love us. He loves even me. So I guess this has been a ramble, and the truth is, I love my nephew Michael. He's a good guy. He is way better at his age than I ever was. I love all my nieces and nephews, and I think they're much better people at their age than I ever was. I think they've been given a real shitty deal. That's my personal opinion. I know that their parents can't tell them this, but now that many of them are reaching age, I think they have been given a shitty deal. I think they deserve to live in a free country. That's my personal opinion. People treat liberty. It's so funny. And this is maybe the full circle thing about the nuclear reactor and taking the oath when you're 26 and believing in a free republic bullshit. People treat liberty like it's a negotiable thing. Well, one, according to my religion, my free will was given to me by God. So there's that. That's not really negotiable. But liberty itself is probably as important to a human life as oxygen or food, as love, as anything else. In fact, when I first learned about Maslow's hierarchy when I was in college, I thought, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. But actually, Maslow's hierarchy is kind of incomplete. Because, yes, you need food, you need water, you need shelter. But as a human being, you also need something that is implicit. And it's only until the crocodile comes along and convinces you you don't need it that you don't recognize it was there all along, and that's freedom. If you want the human race to go extinct, and maybe this is the serious part of this conversation, because I don't care what you believe. You might believe that there's a geoengineering program. I frankly think Dane Wigington is an intelligent, he seems like an intelligent guy to be respected. You might believe that. So there's gunk falling from the skies. You might believe Guy McPherson that we're on the verge of abrupt climate change and we're all fucked. You might believe James Howard Kunstler, who will tell you that because of peak oil, we're very, very close to the end of civilization as we know it. And frankly, I think he's probably, I like Kunstler. He's a smart guy. I think he's way closer to the fucking truth than most people. You might believe the crackheads, the crackpots, the physicists who say that we're some baby universe on the anus hole of a giant supermassive black hole. You might believe we're in a simulation. If you think we're in a simulation, I don't know what to tell you, because that's one that that's an inescapable modern fucktard version of the thing that Descartes tried to escape, that everyone tried to escape, fucking Plato tried to escape. If you're stuck with nothing but observation and you don't believe in anything beyond that, the only thing you can say definitively is you're a chunk of fat floating in a little bit of water in a cave. A cave made of bone called your skull. That's it. And you get information. Maybe it's good. Maybe it's bad. But that's it. You don't have anything else. That's a very small world also, oh, by the way. Believe it or not, that purely scientific, materialistic view of the world, very, very, very small. Not even remotely covering the spectrum of existence. So yeah, this is a ramble. But it's about basically trying to tell something to somebody you love that, on the one hand, you support the right that they get to make the choice what they want to make, and you know they're smart enough to know what they're doing. But on the other hand, you hate the crocodile, and you think the crocodile's bullshit. And the crocodile will tell you you don't need freedom, but in fact, you need it as much as oxygen, as clean air, as clean water, as decent food. You need decent shelter. You also need liberty. In fact, human problems are not going to get solved by pointing more guns at each other. I know you can't believe an anarchist would say that, but actual anarchists, real anarchists, are peaceful people. They believe in self-defense. That's part of the paradox, but it's not a paradox for us. Okay? The corollary to bullies suck is that sometimes there's bullies, so you need to defend yourself. That being said, bullies suck. So as a group of people, we're not violent people because we just don't want to be bullied and we think bullies are fucking terrible. I don't know. And so this is a bit of a ramble. It's a way of saying, you know what, dude? You're a good guy and you're going to go in the Navy and you will probably succeed. To be honest with you, you might get told that you can't talk to Uncle Dan anymore, and you need to know I'm okay with that. Like, I literally don't hold that against you. I got issues with a crocodile. That's not about you. Not about you. The choices you gotta make are fucking tough-ass choices. The choices your sister has to make are difficult fucking choices. The choices your friends at your age have to make are fucking hard choices. We all need to cut each other some slack. The choices I had to make when I was your age were probably tough choices. We all need to cut ourselves a little bit of slack on that one. And if your best choice right now in your heart is to do this thing, then all I can do is just not be a jerk about it. You know, I don't agree with what it does. I don't agree with the crocodile. I don't like the crocodile. What am I supposed to tell you? That the magical crocodile is good? It's not good. It's no replacement for God. It isn't. Okay, whatever you want to hear in 1 Samuel chapter 8, you need to hear this. The magical crocodile will promise it can be everything God is. It will never, ever, ever, ever replace God. And times are coming when people will have to choose between right and wrong in a way that they've never had to choose before, because I think we are on the verge of some pretty difficult things. And yeah, guess what? I don't know everything, neither do you. The Bible is complicated, and my religion is not an easy thing to understand, and I'm still on a journey. If you want to know if I'm a magical, perfect Christian, no. My Lord in heaven created me with free will. I'm also imperfect, and I sin. And that's reality. And I'm also getting old. And that's also reality. And things die. And in America, we don't like talking about it. But that's also reality. You know, new things are born, old things die. Sometimes that gunk you see on the tree isn't from chemtrails, it's from the fucking construction site next door. It's fucking concrete sticking to the leaves. And yeah, it's probably killing this tree. But new things are being born. on some level, as a human being, you have to kind of be there and you have to accept it. It's not perfect, but as a Christian, I have to be there. I was told by a Christian man I trust a few months ago, that maybe one of the best ways of thinking about living in America these days is like the Babylonian captivity. And I think there's probably a lot of truth to that. As a Christian, you kind of have to think of yourself as living in a land that you're really not welcome in and was never really meant to be your place. It wasn't. You were told lies. You were told a lot of lies about a lot of things as a Christian in America. And this applies. This isn't about black and white, folks. Here's one of the great lies, that there's any way to justify the murder of Native Americans. Holy folks, yeah. Here's the thing. This is why I'm telling you, my nephew and my nieces, they're not stupid people. There is no justification for what happened to the Native Americans. None. You can't say to yourself, oh, well, it's manifest destiny shit, and empires expand, and indigenous peoples must be squashed and blown to pieces. No. This was mass murder. There are people that were just wiped out, completely murdered. You don't justify slavery. You don't say to yourself, well, it was the Southern mercantilist economy, and it was just the way it was. And frankly, folks, slavery's always been around, not to take anything away from the horrors that African Americans suffered, but slavery as a sin, as a horrid sin, in my opinion, the only thing almost as bad as murder is to take away a person's free will. And that's essentially what slavery is. So that's, you know, if you want to ask yourself, how does God treat the slaver or the Hamilton? Or the Hamilton. God doesn't like slavers. God likes abolitionists, I think. God likes people who break chains. God doesn't like people who make them. We were told a lot of lies, and I think a lot of the young people, maybe because the internet became too free too soon, and they're trying to crack down on that again, but we were told a lot of lies, and a lot of those lies, at least, are shown to be what they were. Now, the sad truth is a lot of young people believe other new lies now. A lot of fucking bullshit about, especially when it comes to free speech. Oh my God. Free speech is terrible. Free speech is the worst thing in the world. Free speech will ruin society. Free speech will destroy us. That's what we're told, basically. And that's what they're told. So yeah, they're smarter than us in some ways, but frankly, in other ways, they are kind of stupid. Not because they are stupid, but because they've been fed a lot of bullshit. And this also gets back to that whole thing. Folks, you might be stuck. And there may be, without God, you might be stuck. And there may be no way of telling any other thing but this. You're being lied to all the fucking time. I could even be lying to you. That's also a little factoid. If you research me, I might not even exist. I could be a completely manufactured computer thing. You listen to this fucking podcast, say, oh, this guy sounds interesting. I could be completely made up. You don't know. You think I sound authentic, that's also could be synthetic. It could be completely constructed. If I've learned anything about the nature of people, especially online, I've learned this. There are a lot of very sophisticated ways of convincing people that something that is a lie is actually true. And believe me, the crocodile, oh, he's always the best at that. I mean, that's the whole Hamilton thing up and down, sideways. You want to understand the musical Hamilton and why it's so fucking popular and why Hamilton got rehabilitated. That's 100% fucking crocodile. Crocodile Empire bullshit. But at least the kids know that was bullshit. That the murder of Native Americans was bullshit. That the slavery was bullshit. That all the horrible fucking invasions and wars have been terrible bullshit. A lot of them know this. But the sad truth is, they also have come to accept this idea. Well, it's just the way it is, and you have to blow people up sometimes to get what you want. Well, that's the atheistic worldview. Sometimes you have to murder people to get what you want. You have to take what other people have. You can't just ask for it. You can't trade with them freely. God forbid. God forbid you actually trade with people on a one-to-one basis. I don't mean national treaties and that kind of fucking crocodile bullshit. I don't mean crocodile treaties. I mean actual ordinary people just trading with each other. God forbid we allow freedom. But I actually grew up believing this was a free country. I had a conversation with a person at Willy Wonka's the other day, and he said something similar. He said, I used to think this was a free country. I did too. A lot of people did too. It's like all of a sudden you woke up and found, holy fuck, this is not a free country. In fact, it might be becoming something quite terrible and dystopian. And we've all been fucking gaslit. And we've all been fooled. And you've been suckered. What do you tell your nephew if you believe that's true, but he also wants to go work for the thing, the monster, that makes that true? You tell him that you support him, but at the same time, you're not going to lie. And the fact is, that monster might tell him you can't talk to Uncle Dan no more. And that's also the thing I got to get across. It's like, I'm okay with that. I don't judge you. After how many years and you come home, I just want you to come home safe. Safe and sound. Safe and sound. Hopefully, with your soul intact. That's all I want. Safe and sound. Healthy. Check your dosimeter. You know, if you're going and doing something dangerous, check your rads. Okay? Listen to the health sciences, people. It's a hell of a way to boil water. If I can give you any advice, and I'll tell you this too. Here's another little truth about Uncle Dan the Anarchist that I sometimes mention, but I don't mention often because I feel like there's too much positive advertising for war. When I was in the Army, I met a lot of really good people. I did. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not going to say, oh, they were all jerks. No, actually, when I was in the Army 20 years ago, I met a lot of good guys. I met more good men and women than bad. Let me put it that way. In fact, I would argue, I used to tell people this in corporate America, and this is how truly upside down the Prussian revisionism of America really has been, because if you really understand how deeply concocted all this bullshit is, you'll understand what I'm about to say. But I used to tell people when I was at Rolls-Royce, just after I got out of the Army, that I felt like corporate America was more stodgy, more restricted, less open-minded than the Army. And that would piss people off because it completely smacked their paradigm up sideways. So the truth is, you know, when I was an officer in the military, they tried to train you to know how to win a war. And frankly speaking, the philosophy of warfare that the Army taught me, it's coherent. It's mostly correct. You know, it's not completely original, but they'll admit it. I mean, modern combined arms war theory is based upon the work of people like Tukhachevsky, you know, JFC, I think Fuller, von Siecht. There's a bunch of people that you could point to from the 20s and 30s, and these are the folks that came out of World War I, who basically created what we would call modern combined arms, you know, combat theory. And then you add basically the Prussian reforms following the Napoleonic Wars, which basically makes up much of what the military does in the Army. You put that all together and you basically have what's called the military decision-making process. And that's what they taught me in the Army. And it works. And if you're going to fight an enemy on the battlefield, and if you train your soldiers well to do so, you can win following that philosophy. But here's what you need to know, folks. What I've just described to you is how you build a gun. You can build a military of fine people. The fact is, my nephew's going to meet good people. The fact is, he might meet some of the best people he's ever met before in his life. That's also true. I did not want to tell him that. Because you tell him that, that's like you're teasing him into something he's already being convinced to do for the crocodile. But he's going to meet good people. And all you can hope for is that he keeps his soul. You know, even if he doesn't believe he has one. That he keeps his soul, that he keeps his self, that he doesn't give up on who he is. But the reality is, the military is not simple. It's not some big stupid cult. Yes, America might be a big stupid cult, but the military is no more a cult than corporate America. Believe me, Willy Wonka's, holy fuck. If you're going to judge, here's what I would, my advice to any Seattleite who would judge someone for joining the Navy. You need to visit Willy fucking Wonka's. You know, in the magical land beyond the sea. You need to visit that place. You need to cross the sacred bridge called 520, or take the bus called 545, or take the 541 or the 542, and take the magical 40th Street exit off of 520, and you need to go to Willy Wonka's. If you want to see upside down propaganda bullshit, sideways thinking in a world of the surreal, come to fucking Willy Wonka's. So if you're a Seattleite and you're going to judge somebody for joining the military, you need to understand something. I know that you're full of shit. Maybe you work at Google and you think it's different there. Guess what? It's not. Maybe you work at Amazon. Oh, it's different. No, it's probably as bad or worse there. So before you judge anybody for joining the military, you need to know those simple fucking facts. And you don't know people's circumstances either. There's a lot of hopelessness out there. I hate to break it to you. I know some of you like to listen to magical bullshit songs, and you expect to turn on this fucking podcast and be fed a fucking magical happy routine. If you tune in to my fucking podcast expecting uplifting bullshit, you made a fucking mistake. Let's just be honest right there. I don't know how you got led here. Maybe Beans showed up hovering over your bed, squeaking his bullshit one night, and he said, I'm going to go to IamSully.com and hear some crazy-ass old man bullshit. But if you accidentally showed up here, the simple answer is you can leave. You can turn off the fucking audio player. I even have a podcast called The Off Button. There's an off button on everything still, kind of. You can tune out, man. You can turn it off. You can go to another fucking website. You can go for a fucking walk. Holy fuck. You can go play with your dog or your cat or your human. Whatever you do as a person out there in the magical world, wherever the fuck you are. But if you tuned in to Uncle Dan's Little Saigon Hour expecting happy, shiny bullshit, then yeah, I don't have a lot of sympathy for you. I feel like you made a serious fucking mistake and you should fucking turn around. It's like, you know, I'm actually the guy that tells you there's a scary dude who lives down at the end of the road. Okay? This is that movie plot from the 70s. The simple answer is don't go down the scary road. Now, of course, you miss out on the other 65 minutes of teenagers being chased by monsters with chainsaws. But the simple answer to all of these fucking conundrums, folks, especially when it comes to free speech, if you don't like what you hear, just walk away, don't listen, turn it off. It's kind of like this. And I brought this up before, and I may have already mentioned this, but I'm going to mention it again. Because I've been talking for about an hour here, and for a little Saigon report, that's pretty intense, especially with given I'm on call. I have to monitor the Coustalizer. You know, on a Saturday night at Willy Wonka's, if the Coustalizer doesn't work, you got serious issues. People need that Coustalizer. If they only knew how uncool it was. Or rather, uncousto. Yeah. And if you're wondering what I was just doing, I have this vapor pen thing. It contains a compound. I won't tell you what's in it. Yeah, the other day, the dude at work said something that you don't often hear in Seattle. He's a pretty cool dude, actually. I don't know. He may not like me. I think he pretends to like me. That's part of what makes him cool. But he's a pretty cool dude. And he said, basically, you know what? I used to think I lived in a free country. And it's like, no. No, 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 no. You were born into a prison like me. And we get mocked. Like, we get thrown movies like The Matrix, and it mocks us. Or fucking Logan's Run. Or THX 1138. They know the truth. They mock us. That movie you see that's supposed to reveal the truth and make you all woke and bullshit, guess what? That was on purpose too, dumb fuck. When you put on the fucking Guy Fawkes mask, guess what? Somebody wanted you to fucking do that. Holy fuck. Did I blow your mind, you stupid fuck? If there's a bunch of Antifa people running around in basically clothing that looks like it was printed out of somebody's fucking synthetic anus someplace for an AstroTurf rebellion, guess what? It's not real. It's make-believe. It's paid for. It's literally crowdsourcing. Like, buying crowds of people to do crazy-ass shit. You're being lied to a lot. All of us are being lied to, and that's the horrible truth. And without God, that's about all we have. I mean, right now in America, all I can tell you is if you don't have God, all you really have is an ocean of lies. I know I had a podcast the other evening, or maybe a week or so ago, about counterparty risk. And this notion of counterparty risk is rather simple. Like, if a bank loans me money, and guess what? No bank's gonna loan me money right now, and I ain't looking for a loan. Okay, that's a relationship I no longer wanna have for the rest of my fucking life. A relationship with a bank. Beyond just having a savings account, yeah, they can keep their fucking loans. But here's the concept. If a bank loans me money, the counterparty risk is I don't pay them back, essentially. That's counterparty risk. Now, you could say, okay, well, that's normal. Well, it is and it isn't if it becomes leveraged risk. Like, what if an asset shows up in more than one person's quote unquote list of assets? Like, back when they told you there was GAAP accounting, generally accepted accounting principles, I can't believe people even fucking believe that bullshit. Because they taught me that in Accounting 210 at the University of Washington. Like, it was fucking holy grail shit. Like, holy fuck, this is the testament. This is the fucking Ark of the Covenant, GAAP accounting. If people do this correctly, no one gets to lie. And then only a few years later, everybody was lying. Yeah, I'm sorry for that little tangent, but oh, accountants and lawyers, boy, the accountants learn to lie with numbers, and lawyers, well, they just simply learn to lie. And that's about as much as I want to say about accountants and lawyers, boy. Yeah. There are good accountants, and I think there are lawyers who believe what they do is good. And I know there are good accountants, but man, being an accountant these days, if you have a soul, you want to tell the truth about the book of business. It's gotta be a fucking tough ass job. That's all I'm gonna say. Telling the truth about what's going on in the underbelly of this fucked up economy. God bless the accountant that tells the truth. That is a true statement. I may be a scoundrel, but that statement was true. God bless the accountant that tells the truth. Most of our economy is counterparty risk, folks. That's everything. Like, if you want to ask yourself what's in your portfolio, what if I told you it was just a lot of bullshit and counterparty risk, and that's it? And guess what? Counterparty risk in no common sense world could be considered an asset. Now, they'll tell you that you can package it up and you can sell it to people, and that's true. People can be conned. Okay, you can use fancy language and really questionable mathematics to con people. This has been done throughout history. But you need to know something, folks. Whatever you think about our economy, whether you think it's a success or failure, it's mostly counterparty risk now. It's all 100% counterparty risk. That's it. Whole fucking thing. That and some fucking cheese whiz and a few fucking chicken McNuggets and a bit of fucking Gronkis grease to keep the thing going on a weekly basis. And some baling wire. And that's reality. So when people tell people, like young people, well, why do you have shitty attitudes? And why are you going in the military? And why are you doing this? You know what? People need to shut the fuck up. And sometimes I do. I probably need to shut the fuck up too. You need to understand people walk in different shoes. I can be very harsh in some ways, but you need to understand something. There's really hard places in the world. Here in America, as bad as it can be in Little Saigon, there are way, 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 way. I was having a conversation with one of my sisters about this. Okay? One of my sisters, when I was on vacation, she's married to a man from India. Cool dude. Okay? Good guy. Okay, they're raising really cool kids, okay? Really smart, good kids. And I was talking to my sister. And yeah, as bad as it can seem in the United States of America, and it can be bad. It can be terrible. There is a lot of very terrible poverty here. It's so horribly worse almost everywhere else, like India, for example. It is the dilemma of consciousness, folks. If you have a heart, you open up to the world and you say, oh, world, come in. Guess what, folks? Lot of sadness out there, a lot of pain. It's one of the reasons why I am not on Twitter or Facebook, nor am I concerned about it. I sometimes go back on Twitter simply to troll people. I was involved a little bit in that NPC revolt last October. I'll be blunt about that. There were some tough months after the fucking situation in Alaska Airways. I'll be blunt about that. Tough months. Not sure I'm out of the woods yet either, because truly everything in software engineering in Seattle these days feels like one layered fucking gaslight on another gaslight on another manipulation on another fucking con. I don't know. The whole thing's a nest of cons. It's all rackets. It's why I don't leave a lot of money in my checking account either. You know, in general, I don't think people should at this point. I'm not going to tell you what to do with your money. You could buy a little extra food. That's not the worst thing to do. Not at all. Buy a couple months of food. Listen, you don't have to be a prepper to use a little bit of common sense. Buying about 2 months worth of food for your family wouldn't take a lot of extra money. And yet it could be a big, big thing. And then it could help other people too, maybe. Thinking about how you would purify water. Everybody, wherever you live, and especially in the United States of America, if you don't know how to purify water, you need to learn how to fucking do that shit ASAP. It's not that easy to do, FYI. You have to have water to purify it. That's not always easy to find. And if you don't do it right, you're going to kill yourself. So you're going to have to learn to purify water. You're going to have a little bit extra food on hand. These are just simple things, folks. I know it sounds crazy. But we look around the world and we assume everything is more is stronger than it is. We think the crocodile is all powerful. Folks, here's the thing you need to know about most people, if you haven't learned it yet, and the crocodile. And this is true, especially true of French bulldogs. The more that they prance around and act like they fucking understand everything and they're in control, that's usually the best indication that they're weak. Okay? When the first Gulf War was won, I mean, think about this. Think about Vietnam and then the first Gulf War. People often think of it this way, like somehow winning against Saddam Hussein undid the blah, blah, blah of the Vietnam War. I'm going to tell you a slightly different tale. The Vietnam War basically showed that the United States Empire, I don't mean the people of this country, most of the people here I think are pretty fucking cool, and I think most of them still believe in freedom. I don't mean them, I mean the fucking crocodile here. The American crocodile was defeated in Vietnam. And then they'll look at the first Gulf War and they'll say, well, that was a victory, so it undid the great loss somehow. Oh, it looks like my battery's going down, actually. Well, you know what? I'm just going to make it simple because it looks like I'm about ready to lose power on this and I'm going to have to cut the podcast short. I think the crocodile's dying. And so think about that. When you think about the things you do to prepare your family for reality and the conversations you have with people, whatever you think is the nature of reality itself, the crocodile that currently thinks it runs the world, this one's sick and it's dying. And the problem is, when these things get sick and they die, they thrash about, and sometimes they cause a lot of problems. Yeah. Sometimes they cause wars. Needless to say, I need to close this podcast out. I got a lot of complicated thoughts for all people and human beings on a Saturday night, especially those about to be coustalized at Willy Wonka's. You know, be careful out there. It's crazy.